Then he got into the boat and his disciples followed him. Suddenly, a furious storm came up on the lake so that the waves swept over the boat. But Jesus was sleeping. The disciples went to wake him, saying, "Lord, save us. We are going to drown. We are going to drown." He replied, "You are of little faith. Why are you so afraid?" Then he got up and rebuked the winds and the waves, and it was completely calm. The men were amazed and asked, "What kind of man is this? Even the winds and the waves obey him." Amen. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for this time that we can spend in your house. We read how your disciples went through the storm, fought the waves, and you asked them not be afraid. Please help us to understand your message well. We need so much these days, not be afraid. We want to listen to you and we trust you. You help us and we thank you. Amen. So, I would first like to make an introduction to the sermon. This morning, I would like to talk to you about a biblical truth. This is a message which is part of the larger series of sermon about fear in the Bible. Today, I want to talk to you about destructive fear. But first, let's see what fear is. You can find at least two kinds of fear in the Bible. The fear of the Lord. This first fear is a blessing from God. Through it we can have a healthy mind, pure thoughts, and a healthy body. He who has this fear knows God. He who doesn't have this fear doesn't know God. I want to repeat. He who has this fear knows God. He who doesn't have this fear doesn't know God. Destructive fear. The other is a destructive fear, which arose as a result of sin, of which our Lord Jesus wants to free us by his power. Well, today I would like to talk to you about the second type, which is about the destructive fear. Now, I would like us to follow through the text that I have read. The Lord takes the disciples to an area of instability, of storm. This truth exposes the wrong concept that sometimes appears, namely that it happens to go through the storm, that it's just happening for me to go through trials. However, we can see that the Lord himself leads the disciple into a storm and puts them in the difficult test, because only in that place of a storm their true spiritual condition is revealed, and the Lord only can heal. The next step is the fear destroys us. The Lord, Jesus, rebukes the disciples. He said to them, "Why are you so afraid?" Destructive fear. Now I would like to follow on three things. Namely, what is destructive fear? The only one way to get rid of fear is Christ. Christ frees us at the cross from the slavery of fear, but the fight will continue. In our text, we noticed that the one who initiates the road to Gadara is the Lord Jesus. And this road had to be made by sea through a storm. At Gadara, a man possessed by a legion of demons was to be released, and the evil one was anticipated this ministry. That is why the evil one will always fight against any liberation and will try to stop the Lord Jesus at any cost from reaching Gadara. The devil uses fear as a weapon in this situation, triggered by the storm. So, fear is a very dangerous weapon with which the evil one fights against God's mighty works. Stay at sea with Christ. Don't try to escape. Don't try to run away from temptation. If you run away from the trial, Christ will not longer be with you. It is necessary to go through trials. You need to learn something. That is why Christ brought you to the sea and takes you through the storm. But if you seek to be in a safe place, without dangerous, but without the Lord, you will fall into all kinds of sins. In Gadara, there on the shore, indeed it is not a storm, but it is Satan. Don't rush to get to Gadara without the Lord Jesus. We notice in the text that the disciples were fighting the storm. They were trying to remove the water so they would not sink. They woke up Jesus asking for help. To their surprise, Jesus responded harshly. They probably did not expect their Lord to rebuke them when they were asking for his help. What was so bad that Jesus rebuked them? Well, the Lord Jesus knew very well what he meant they should not be afraid when he was with them. What is destructive fire? Fear. A state of restlessness or distress caused by a real or imaginary danger towards something that surprises you and of which you cannot oppose. The fear that wants to destroy us is the fear of Satan. Anyone who fears Satan has not come to fear God accordingly. Whoever fears God will evidently not longer fear Satan. He who fears God will be blessed, happy, at peace in his heart, and will oppose Satan. It is easy for him to oppose Satan when he fears the Lord. He just obeys the Lord when the Lord says, "Do not be afraid," in special of Satan. A child of God becomes humble, and this humility is his strength. And we see this in Matthew 10:28. Please open your Bible to Matthew 10, verse 28. Do not be afraid of those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear him who may lose both soul and body in Gehenna. Moreover, the Lord says to Jeremiah in chapter 1, verse 17. Jeremiah 1, 17. But you gird up your loins, get up, and tell them everything I will command you. Do not tremble before them, lest I make you tremble before them. I want to repeat. But you gird up your loins, get up and tell them everything I will command you. Do not tremble before them, lest I make you tremble before them. The moment you let yourself be gripped by fear, this fear paralyzes your soul and body. You cannot longer think. You cannot longer react in any way. Fears block you completely. Fear is a very powerful weapon to manipulate people. Even though Satan is destroyed, he makes great use of this fear and in this way ends up manipulating people, coercing them and eventually possessing them. This fear is very dangerous, more dangerous than we can realize. It destroys first the spirit of man, secondly, and gradually, the soul, and finally, the body of man. This is why the Lord Jesus reacts so harshly and rebukes the disciples, because the disciples allowed fear to enter their hearts. This fear was not from the beginning in people. It appeared in Eden after Adam and Eve sinned. I would like to underline that it was not from the beginning. It appeared in Eden as a result of sin, and this fear separates us from God. Then Adam and Eve become slaves to sin. In Genesis 3, chapter 3, verse 8 to 10, we read about this fear arose. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man, "Where are you?" He answered, "I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked. So I hid." Adam and Eve experienced this fear only after they sinned. They don't have it before. Fear does not appear if we have done something good. It will only appear after we have done something bad. Only sin can produce this fear in the heart, just as it did in Eden. The scripture says that all men have sinned and are victims of the terror that fear brings. No one can escape this consequence of sin, neither here on earth nor there in the afterlife. Here on earth, anybody who has sinned and not repented will live in this fear to a degree. The Bible says about this fear that it's actually an evil spirit. It is even called a spirit of fear that enters man in the time of sin. When man sins, he actually opens a spiritual door that allows fear to sneak in. Fear gains the right to settle in man's heart once he committed sins. Once he committed the sin, he gave in the fear, and fear will possess him. It is very interesting that the first category of sinners who will end up in hell are the cowardly, as we read in Revelation 21, verse 8. It's very interesting. Please open your Bible and read together. Revelation 21, verse 8. But the cowardly, the unbelieving, the vile, the murderers, the sexually immoral, those who practice magic arts, the idolaters, and all liars, they will be consigned to the fire lake of burning sulfur. This is the second death. I'm telling all these details because I want us to deal properly and effectively with this fear that is destroying humanity. Now, I would like to discover from the Bible what is the way by which we can get rid of fear. Maybe it's possession. The only way to get rid of fear is Christ. The Lord has given us only one way by which we can escape this fear. This why is Christ. Only Christ can save us from the destruction that fear produces. I would like to call you today, now, here, to check yourself before the Lord. I have two questions for you. Are you born again? Is the Lord Jesus in your heart? These are two questions that I ask you not to answer me, but before the Lord Almighty in prayer. If you answer or no, then I challenge you to do three things today. First one, confess to the Lord Jesus all the sins you remember and ask him to forgive you and cleanse you of them through his blood. Believe in the Lord Jesus with all your heart and with all your strength. And the last one, make a covenant with the Lord today. Call him to enter your heart and dedicate yourself to him for the rest of your life. I ask you to do these three things because God commands you to do them. And you can. You have the ability to do them. It's all about wanting to do them. I pray to the Lord Jesus for you so that you don't put off today but become a child of God through faith and repentance so you can also escape from the slavery of fear. But if your answer to the two questions I asked you early are positive, I would like to go further with the sermon and see if fear also enters the life of the faithful into the lives of the saved, who are already the children of God. Well, the scripture says that yes, fear wants to re-enter the hearts of those who got rid of it at the cross, at Calvary, when they repented. Christ make us free at the cross from the slavery of fear, but the fight will continue. The Lord Jesus took upon himself the sin of all mankind, died on the cross, sacrificed himself on the altar of God, and made completely atonement. At the cross, the Lord Jesus completely destroyed the devil and freed all the saved from the slavery of fear. In Hebrew chapter 2, verse 14 and 15, it explains very well some of the things that happen at the cross. Hebrew chapter 2, verse 14 and 15. Since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity, so that by his death he might break the power of him who holds the power of death. That is the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery, but their fear of death. So, freedom from fear is only at the cross. Only there Christ set us free. At the cross, slavery ended, as it says in Romans 8, verse 15. Please open again your Bible at Romans 8, 15. The Spirit you receive does not make you slaves, so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship, and by him we cry, Abba, Father. But the devil wants us to be afraid of him again. Anyone who does not stick to the Lord will again become a slave to fear. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, we read, "For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but give us power, love, and self-discipline." 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. So, God gave us a spirit of power, not of fear. We have this power now, but we must walk in it. But if we have it and do not walk in it, it is the same as not having it. He revealed to us in James chapter 4, verse 7. This verse is a big bless. It's a key for power. James 4, 7. Submit yourselves then to God. Resist to the devil, and he will flee from you. Sometimes it's unbelievable. Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. I like this verse. If we obey God, then we will be able to resist Satan, and look what will happen. Satan will flee from us. He will not leave, but will flee from us. Lord, you have freed us from fear and given us a spirit of power, love, and self-discipline. Please, God, help us to walk in them with all authority. One very important thing that can help us fight against fear is to know that only God is sovereign. The Lord is sovereign. So I want to point out that the one who controls all things is one, and is God Almighty. He was and is sovereign. He was and is sovereign, meaning he does exactly what he wants without anyone ever being able to disturb him. Now, when he look at what is happening in the world, it seems that the evil one actually has the power to do what he wants, that he can produce storms, problems in the world, quarrels, divisions, wars. It seems that he does what he wants. It seems that Satan is a fierce lion that rages and devours everything as it pleases. But it's not like that at all. God's word reveals the truth to us in Lamentation 3, 37 and 38. Have it happen if the Lord has not decreed it? Is it not from the mouth of the Most High that both calamity and good thing come? God is sovereign. Just He is sovereign. Yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Yes, only God decides what happens under the sun. The Lord allows the devil to roam in certain limits only to accomplish his greater plan. I want to highlight that he only does what he is allowed to do, that Satan is chained, just like a wild animal is chained. God gives the devil a certain freedom today, but tomorrow he takes it away. Today he extends his chain. Tomorrow he shortens it again. So, only God decides what is done on his earth, and he uses Satan just to fulfill his plans. The Lord Jesus destroyed Satan on the cross once and for all. But now the Lord allows the devil to sneak this destructive fear into our hearts so he can teach us, his children, how to overcome it. In conclusion, I would like us to see three things that believers must do. I see these three things as a key to a life of freedom, free from the slavery of fear. First one, the Lord is sovereign. Amen? Christ destroys Satan on the cross. Amen? And second, and third one, don't be afraid. The Lord has made us free to walk in the freedom that Christ was won for us. I want to repeat. Don't be afraid. The Lord has made us free to walk in the freedom that Christ has won for us. Amen. Amen. Lord Jesus, thank you for freeing us from fear. Help us to walk in the freedom you gave us. Amen. Thank you. Thank you for your patience for my English. Thank you. God bless you.